Yeah. Yeah. What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I'm your gracious host, Tariq Nasheed, doing the late night chop up, ladies and gentlemen. It is late in the middle of the night, but we're still chopping up some great game because, you know, we do it any day, any way, anytime, anywhere. It's never too late for some good game, ladies and gentlemen. So let everybody know that we're live right now. Get you a glass of hot cocoa, some soy milk, or whatever you need. And let's get this thing popping, ladies and gentlemen. I need y'all to give me a retweet. Let everybody know that I'm live right now. And while people are piling in the room, let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to chop up game as we always do. So don't you move a muscle, because we'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed, available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack, and the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Family, are you tired of going from site to site looking for children's books? Go to drbirdiebooks.com, where we already have over 100 children's ebooks. 100 children's ebooks? That's going to cost a few hundred dollars. No, our ebooks start as low as $3.47 for a pack of 10 unique children's books. That's drbirdiebooks.com, Dr. Birdie Books.
It's tax time again, so let the experts at Clark Pro Taxes make filing your taxes easy for you. They can prepare your taxes in person or virtually in all 50 states. Just snap a picture of your documents and leave the rest up to them. Let Clark Pro Taxes prepare your personal and business taxes. Clark Pro Taxes will not stop until you get your maximum refund. Go to clarkprotaxes.com right now. Their calendars are open for the 2024 tax filing season. That's clarkprotaxes.com. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Clark Pro Taxes.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they think it, you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Okay. You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
Oh yeah, I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have y'all in here. We'll play some real mellow and Mac-ish, because it's in the middle of the night. So let me slow it down and get it real mellow right now. Let me do that. Let me get it real mellow right now. All right, what's up, man? We're here, ready to chop up game. Glad to have all of you guys in here, man. If I'm sounding good, because sometimes I'll be on here chopping it up and my sound might be a little janky. If my sound is good, ladies and gentlemen, give me a thumbs up in the YouTube chat room. If my sound is good, y'all give a brother those thumbs up. Let me know I'm doing good on here with the sound. All right, we all right? All right, I'm getting the FBA fist up here. Shout out to the family. But look, Man, a lot of stuff we're going to talk about tonight. I'm not going to keep y'all too long because I know some of y'all got to get up and hit Amazon and hit the warehouse and hit Church's Chicken and do all of those phenomenal things that we need you to do out here in society. Run your businesses, take your kids to school. I understand. I understand, ladies and gentlemen. But and by the way, we got an event at the museum, the Hidden History Museum, this Saturday. This Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, at the Hidden History Museum, we have the one-year anniversary. Can you believe we've had the Hidden History Museum popping off for a whole year so far? It seems like longer, but it's been a year. And we're going to have some phenomenal comedians on. The comedy game is heavy right now. Y'all need to come on out and see these comics, man. Those Cat Williams interviews and Monique and all they got the comedy game really popping right now. So you're going to want to see what the comedians are out here talking about. They got a lot of hot topics out here in the comedy game. So you never know. Shout out to my brother Corey Holcomb. I saw at the Laugh Factory, I think, the other day. Corey Holcomb was doing his thing, and then the brother who played Ashy Larry. What's that brother's name who plays Ashy Larry? He's very funny. He's a very funny brother. That brother, I see him at the Improv, and he kills all the time. Darnell Rollins, right? So he kind of confronted Corey in the audience, and they were going back and forth. And Darnell Rollins has clicked in heavy with Dave Chappelle, and Corey Holcomb kind of made some critical remarks about Dave Chappelle. So it was, you know, they were about to get it popping in there. So the comedy game is very interesting right now. The comedy game is very interesting. So, yeah, Darnell Wright, he's funny. That brother is very, very funny. Very, very funny. But, yeah, the comedy game is interesting. Y'all need to come on out, man, and experience it. You never know what you're going to get. So, y'all, come on out Saturday night out here in Los Angeles. It's not even that much to get in. You got to RSVP, so you got to get your tickets now at HiddenHistoryMuseum.com. When you get in, everything is complimentary food. The music is going to be popping. We're going to have catering by Grill Fresh from Slauson. Grill Fresh was a few doors down from the Marathon store. I've used Grill Fresh on my films before. Everybody loves Grill Fresh. It's a black-owned spot. And it's some pretty healthy food, man. Very good. Very good food. If you, my LA people, you know about Grill Fresh on Slauson, like in Slauson and West Street. So they're going to be doing the catering. So you guys are going to get complimentary food, complimentary drinks all night. It's going to be on and popping, ladies and gentlemen. You know, somebody asked, when are we going to get Corey? I've been wanting to get Corey at the museum for the longest. I've been wanting to get Corey up there at the museum. All Corey has to do is just name a price, and I got him. Everybody's been asking about Corey coming up. I would love Corey to come through and do his thing, man. It would be phenomenal. So let's get into what we're talking about tonight. And everybody, give me a retweet. And, hit your notification buttons, your bell notifications, because a lot of people don't know when I'm live. They don't get notifications. You got to turn your notifications on in your settings. You got to turn your notifications on, ladies and gentlemen. All right? We up in here. Now, let's get right into it. Wait, should I get on camera? Look, when we get 2,000 people, I hop on camera. I do that. When we get up to 2,000 people, we're getting a lot of people are coming in fast. When we get 2,000 people, I'm going to hop up on the cam for the fam. But we're talking about the Trump shoes. For those who don't know, Trump came out with some sneakers because they're putting all types of cases on Trump. There was a judgment for like $300 million that he has to pay out there in New York, and they're talking about seizing the hotel and his businesses. You know, they're doing everything they can to prevent Trump from winning because they understand that Biden, ain't nobody checking for Biden. you know, Biden is in trouble. The Democrats are in trouble. Nobody's really checking for them. The Democrats are allowing people to come over here to undermine their only voter base, which is us. Black people, we're the base of the Democratic Party, and they're just blatantly disrespecting us to the point where they know they don't really have a chance. So now the only thing they can do is try to thwart Trump, and they're putting these judgments on him. And, you know, the right wingers are fighting back. And what Trump did, Trump released some sneakers. He released some sneakers, and they were selling for, what, $300? And, you know, a bunch of people in the dominant society got them, these Trump sneakers. And now they're trying to spin it. Now, the only people who got these sneakers were white people. Now they're trying to spin it like his shoes, the Trump shoes, are winning over black voters. This is the narrative that these right-wing think tanks are coming up with. They're now running with the narrative that these Trump shoes are winning over the black vote. And hold on. Where's the image of the shoes? For those who haven't, this is the shoe. So they think we're looking at the shoes like that. Those are the shoes, and they're saying that these Trump shoes are winning over black voters. And Fox News, they got on talking about how sneakers appeal to black people. So this is Fox News and their take on it. Well, they're just going hard body with the racism, with the passive aggressive racism. So hold on. This is Fox News. This is their take on it. Listen to Fox News. All right, let me get the audio together here. Hold on 1 second.
I was on social media last night. Very interesting. As you see, black support eroding from Joe Biden. This is connecting with black America because they love sneakers. They're into sneakers. They love the, you know, this is a big deal, certainly in the inner city. So when you have Trump roll out his sneaker line, they're like, wait a minute, this is cool. He's reaching them on a level that defies and is above politics. The culture always trumps politics. And Trump understands culture like no politician I've ever seen.
Question for you on that point, though.
Yeah.
Will the people that are excited about the sneakers and excited about Donald Trump, will that translate into them going out and voting for Donald Trump?
Look, anybody willing to put $400 down for a pair of sneakers? Yeah, I think that's commitment and love.
It's something.
It's affection.
Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. These people with this passive-aggressive nonsense. Listen. No black people are buying these shoes. There's like one Sambo I saw that they're parading around. There was one brother, quote unquote, that they had parading around in these shoes. Looks like somebody paid the guy. I'm trying to see if I can find the little video clip of the dude with the Trump shoes. No, but black folks ain't rocking with these Trump shoes. Black folks ain't rocking with this stuff, and they know this. Oh, here it is. This guy right here. So you'll see this guy. This is the only black person rocking these shoes because you see him on different social media platforms. They keep posting the same black dude. Hold on. This guy right here. Hold on. This dude here. And notice the fact that this is the only one they can find wearing them sneakers, and they probably paid him to put them on. Hold on.
Bro, this is the first look at Trump's shoes right here.
Crazy.
Let me see the size. Donald Trump has his own shoe. Yo, tell me about those a little bit. You know anything about it?
These right here are the friends and family. There's only 50 pairs made right here. All gold. You got the gold lace tips as well. Super fire. And low-key, they're actually very comfortable. First ever Trump shoes.
Bro, this is the first...
Okay. Dude, where your family from? Where's this dude's family from? Okay. So this is what they're doing. So this is the black support for the Trump shoes. All right. That's the black support. And this is some passive aggressive white supremacist nonsense. They know black folks ain't rocking these sneakers. The only people who's going out here buying these sneakers, and now some of them are not like $9,000 on eBay and all of the, these are the right wing white people buying this stuff. But all roads always have to lead back to black people. We are front of mind all the time. Everything revolves around what are the black people doing? Particularly the foundational black Americans. What are they doing? How are they reacting to this? There's one black person wearing it. Oh God, let's do a think piece on it. Everything revolves around our Mujahara. Everybody wants to latch on to that foundational black American Mujahara. It's all about our energy. What are we doing? And basically what they were doing on Fox News was a dog whistle to the white base of Trump. Because the narrative that the left-wing media likes to portray is that all of the Trump supporters are suspected white supremacists. So when they put out stories like, oh, black people love Trump, black people love his shoes. So yeah, if you vote for Trump, you're not racist because black people like him. So that's to ease the racism guilt from a lot of the right wingers. And also that black people are being enthused about Trump sneakers, that plays into stereotypes of us just being dim-witted children who are politically unsophisticated. You see, this whole thing where, oh yeah, black people, they love sneakers. Oh God, in the inner city, these are the sneaker kings. You see, it's that these Negroes are perpetual children. All they want are nigga trinkets. Get them some nigga trinkets and they'll do anything. Vote for Trump so we can maintain a childlike relationship with the blacks. Everything always circles back around to us. What are we doing? What the foundation of black Americans, how are they feeling about it? How are these policies going to affect them? Is it going to harm them? See, everything with us is about harm and deprivation. It's about taking away. It's about not letting us get a leg up. So we got to understand why it's important for us to get compensatory justice, because a lot of these different laws and bills they have, all they do is override everything with the I'm white and I say so narrative. All they do is override everything with the I'm white and I say so narrative. Do we have 2,000 people in here, guys? Because we're chopping it up. Almost 2,000. But listen, everything when it comes to us is how can black people be undermined? How can things be taken away from us? How can we be thwarted from getting an equal share? See, this is something that we have to change. From the ground up, we got to change that whole mindset, because there's situations. Have y'all seen some situations where black people are supposed to get a financial windfall and all of a sudden they pull the I'm white and I say so card? This happens all the time. There was a case, I want to say, with Tesla. Do y'all remember some years ago? I want to say out here in California, if I'm not mistaken, but a brother was facing discrimination. I think it was at Tesla or some company, if I'm not mistaken. And a jury found that he was being discriminated against at the workplace. They created a hostile environment. And the jury awarded a lot of money. Do y'all remember? Help me out in the chat room, guys. The brother got awarded by the jury. Was it $20 million? How much was it, guys? Help me out. It was Tesla. How much money was that black man supposed to get? Y'all help me out, guys. The brother was supposed to get a huge bag. Help me. I know it's a little delay. I'm waiting on the room to give me a number. I don't want to start Googling now. Help me out, Room. What's up, Daydreaming? Somebody, wait, Truth. Truther said we don't deserve reparations. Yes, we do. Yeah, it was like $100 million, right? It was like $100 million. $120 million. Yeah, yeah, it was over $100 million. Boy, them suspected white supremacist judges, boy, they'll step in real quick with that. They were like, nah. Go ahead and take about $1 or $2 million and go ahead and bounce. Yeah, they reduced it to like $3 million. The judge said, yeah, $150 million, that's too much. Well, go ahead, nigga. You're a Negro, so $3 million will be good enough for you. Man, they do that all the time. Y'all ready? Let me get on camera. Y'all ready for me? Let me get on camera. Hold on. Let me hop on camera. Bam. What's up, guys? I got the cool player uncle look tonight. Here I am. So it was $137 million and reduced it down to, was it $3 million or $13 million? I thought it was $3 million. They do that all the time. It's I'm white and I say so. Like, remember, Professor Black Truth said the last resort for these white supremacists is getting these suspected white supremacist judges to do their dirty work for them. Getting these judges that's on the take to do the dirty work for these people, because now the juries are getting some act right. The general public, they're getting some act right. You understand? The juries are getting it right. So now they got to go through these damn judges now who's on the white supremacist code. There was another case, I want to say this was in Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken. There was another case where a black woman's son was wrongly executed by a race soldier. This woman was, her son was executed by a race soldier, Cordell Handy, out there in St. Paul in 2017. He was offed and unalived by a race soldier out there. And they went to court. The family won a judgment. They were going to get like $10 or $11 million. They were going to get around $10 or $11 million. And the judge said, oops, that's a little bit too much. Why don't y'all take 2.5 and get on somewhere? So the federal judge reduced the $10 million. It was really $11 million. The civil award to $2.5 million. They always step in with this, I'm white and I say so, when it comes to us getting financial compensation. Boy, they play this game heavy. You dig? When it comes to us getting something, boy, they get massively on code, ladies and gentlemen. They get on code majorly. And family, how many times have we seen cases? I mean, they do this all across the board, where black people win lotteries or black people win something at casinos, and then they'll come pull the I'm white and I say so and say, oops, it was a mistake. Out there in Jersey, I think, in Atlantic City, a sister won a huge jackpot, and then they said it was a mistake. We'll buy you a chicken dinner or a steak dinner or some nonsense. And the sister still, I think she's still in court trying to sue now. Remember, some months ago, I was in Las Vegas. I hit a machine. It started hitting the jackpot. The dude comes along, turns the machine off and restarts it and says, okay, go ahead, keep playing. I'm like, hey, where's my money? But like, oh, that was it was a malfunction. What? Malfunction? So yeah, they pulled that all the time. So they just did this again on another brother. He won a Powerball. And let me show y'all this story. Anytime black folks start getting something, all of a sudden they pull that arm white and I say so. It was a mistake. Now look, this happened to a brother. Hold on, look at this. We got to understand what we're dealing with. Hold on 1 second. Hold on.
Now a story you'll see only on News 4. How many of us have dreamed about what we would do if the Powerball numbers on the lottery website matched the paper ticket in our hands? The luxury cars we'd buy, the job we might quit, the people we'd be able to help. Well, tonight, News 4's Jackie Benson has the story of a D.C. man who was suing Powerball and the D.C. Lottery for refusing to pay out a $340 million prize last year after his lawsuit claims his numbers came up on their screen.
I'm not a regular, except for when the jackpot goes up.
On January 6th of last year, D.C. resident Joseph Cheeks bought a Powerball ticket using a personal combination of family birth dates and other numbers. Mr. Cheeks did not see the drawing, but on January 8th, he pulled up the D.C. Lottery website on his laptop. He saw his numbers. He took this screenshot. But the numbers posted on the D.C. Lottery website,
this is Powerball, good evening, America,
were not the same as those pulled in that Powerball drawing January 7th. His lawsuit claims his numbers remained on the lottery's website for 3 days, and the size of the Powerball prize at that time was $340 million.
And I got a little excited, but I didn't shout, I didn't scream. I just politely called a friend. I took a picture as he recommended. And that was it. Yeah, I went to sleep.
Mr. Cheeks attributes his somewhat low-key response to being deeply immersed in his work at the time. He's trying to create a home trust bank that would make loans to people who don't qualify for traditional mortgages.
And that's why they don't want to give him the money. Listen to that. That's why they don't want to give him the money.
The crisis of the home ownership situation here in the District, Virginia and Maryland. Tent cities over at the State Department, tent cities at Union Station. I know it's unheard of, and I've been criticized for saying that, but the F word for foreclosure would not stand.
Okay, so y'all get the point. So you guys get the point. Y'all get the point. And I want y'all to listen to what that brother said, see? See, that's why they don't want to give us our money. When it comes to 100 million plus in black folks, oh, they get real funny style. Oh, they got, when it's time to give us over $100 million, they got every excuse in the world. They pull the I'm white and I say so book out and say, oops, well, They've been doing this. There was a black girl named Sarah Rector who was in Oklahoma. And this black girl, I want to say 1920s, early 1900s. She had a land allotment because she was connected with one of the native tribes out there, a little black girl. From what I understand, I'm kind of paraphrasing my memory here, but I do understand that she got a land allotment, and on her land, they found oil. So now her land becomes worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And then all of a sudden, the judges and the state said, well, she has to have a separate guardian over the money, and because she's a child, and we got to appoint a guardian. So they went and finessed that little piece of money. They went and finessed that money from that kid and her family. When it comes to the hundreds of millions of dollars in black folks, boy, they get real funny style. They go on alert because they understand, and this is why black folks don't fall for the narrative. Let me get back on camera. Don't fall for the narrative of, well, they don't want to give us money because we ain't going to know what to do with it. We'll just piss it off. See, yeah, we people used to say that for a long time. And that's a stereotype. They understand that, like this brother who was just talking, most of us, when we get our reparations, when we get the financial justice we're supposed to get, we're going to do phenomenal things. They know that we're going to get some act right and make shit go like it's supposed to go. This brother here, who was about to win the lottery until they pulled the I'm white and I say so on him, he said, hey, I'm going to help the homeless people. I'm going to get this money to, you know, create some stuff that's going to help the community. That's what they don't want. See, that's why the dominant society, they're very funny style about getting foundational black Americans to elevate them to certain public figure status, because they know we take that notoriety and we run with it and we use it to our advantage. That's why they're going out of their way to get sports figures from Africa and the Caribbean and actors from Britain to play foundational Black American roles. See, this is why they're doing this, ladies and gentlemen. They know that FBA Majara spirit that we have, the spirit of Majara. They understand that Majara spirit will resonate, and if it's elevated, it's going to touch so many other people. And they don't want that Majara spirit being utilized by us to touch and elevate other people financially. They always got to pocket watch us all the time. When we start creating franchises worth hundreds of millions of dollars, watch how they start acting. They have to put us on a leash. Look at Wesley Snipes. Remember when he did the Blade series, they didn't know the Blade series was going to turn out the way it turned out and be so successful. That man saved Marvel. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Wesley Snipes and the Blade series saved Marvel Studios. Marvel Studios, they were putting out flops. They were trying the comic book thing. Their first film, Howard the Duck, was one of the biggest flops in cinema history. Y'all Google that. You see? That Majara spirit that we have, that Wesley Snipes had, we've saved these studios. Family, let me get deep for a minute. Do y'all know how many studios we've saved? Foundation of Black America? Let me let y'all know your power. Wesley Snipes saved Marvel. Family, FBA family, do y'all know how many white corporate entities that your lineage has saved? Family, FBA family, I really want us to understand that Majara spirit that we have. Family, we saved MGM in the 1970s. Remember, during white flight in the late 60s, white people were leaving the inner cities and going to these newly formed suburbs. These suburbs did not have movie theaters yet. So in the inner cities, you had all of these basically empty theaters. The movie studios were losing money, about to go bankrupt. MGM, they were about to sell some of the stuff from The Wizard of Oz. They were desperate. What saved Hollywood with the blaxploitation movies. Shaft saved MGM. That movie came out and it was so fly and black folks flocked to it. And then all of those blaxploitation films kept Hollywood afloat because you could make those films for a couple of $100,000, if that. You didn't even have to put $1 million budgets in them. And these movies would make tens of millions of dollars. You dig? We built the Hollywood studio back up, and then in the mid-70s, they had enough money to make the Jaws movies and the Close Encounters and the Star Wars movies and get back on their feet and then create these Metroplex theaters in the suburbs. But yeah, the Shafts and the Superflies, our culture, even though they exaggerated a lot of it, that saved the Hollywood system. Yeah, and we all know about Bill Cosby saving NBC. Bill Cosby saved NBC. NBC was down bad when the Cosby Show came and basically saved it. And then when he was talking about buying it, they were like, oh. See, we always save these folks and then they turn on us. We save them and then they turn on us. Family, let's get even deeper. Do y'all know? Hell, Michael Jackson basically saved MTV. Did y'all know that? Family, MTV, when it first came out, MTV was flopping when it came out at first. MTV. Family, when MTV first came out, MTV lost, I want to say, about $50 million. They put a lot of money into MTV. And the first couple of years, it really wasn't popping like that, because what they wanted to do was have a de facto Jim Crow thing going on where they would only play white artists. That's why people like Rick James was going around criticizing them and clowning them for only playing white artists, saying, hey, man, MTV is kind of racist. You know, they were playing this, they would play that rock and roll stuff, and truth be told, people didn't want to see that bullshit all day. You didn't want to see these white rock artists. They were boring. The music is cool, but they don't have that Majara spirit. There's nothing to, you know, you don't want to see that all day. You don't want to see it all day. You dig? So when Michael Jackson came out with Billie Jean, you know, they basically said, hey, man, play this. When they came out with Billie Jean, people sat up there and watched that station around the clock. They started making money hand over fist. And they were forced to play Michael Jackson's videos in rotation all day. That's why Thriller was so successful, and that's why MTV was so successful. You see? Michael Jackson saved MTV. Yeah? And somebody else mentioned, yeah, the show in Living Color, the reason why they have halftime shows is because the TV show, our good brother Keenan Ivory Wayans, they started doing halftime specials. So when people watch the game, they could switch over to Fox and do and watch their halftime specials for the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl people saw that all of those numbers were shifting to some entertainment over at Fox watching In Living Color. They said, hey, we got to have some spectacular halftime shows. We got to step our game up and get some halftime shows that's popping. You think? And remember, a lot of those networks, they got on the ground, they got off the ground. The UPN network, Fox, to be honest, Fox came up off black people. It was Martin and In Living Color. That's what made people tune in to Fox. You know? Man, y'all, we underestimate that Mojara spirit that we have. We really underestimate the spirit that we have that everybody wants to see and everybody wants to experience. They are on our bumper, family. People stay on our bumper and watching what we do, ladies and gentlemen. You know, that's why there's always this desire to control us. There's always this thing where we have to be controlled. And speaking of control, did y'all see what's going on with that Crown Act? There was a black boy, one of the many, who got discriminated against at the school he was going to because of his hair. They got this thing where they're always targeting black kids because of their hair. The hair is too long. It's supposed to be cut. You can't have your hair this way. So there's always this thing where we're being punished because of our hair. They use our hair as an excuse to discriminate against us. So instead of saying, I'm not letting this kid in school because he's black, well, we have a no dreadlock rule. But only black people have dreadlocks. I mean, no, there's white people with dreadlocks, but we can't have locks in here. I mean, it's not about the race, it's the hair, but it's a hairstyle that only black people wear. Oh, no, it's not about race. See, it's some white and I say so. So there was a case where they tried to go to the Supreme Court out there in Texas with the Crown Act. That's why the Crown Act was like a nothing burger. See, this is why we got to get reparations. This is why we got to get reparations, ladies and gentlemen. Where's that Crown Act? Okay, so here's this thing out there in Texas where... All right. Judge rules Texas schools hair length policy does not violate the Crown Act. So yeah, Daryl George was disciplined for much of the school year after refusing to cut his hair. They don't do that to white kids, man. They do not do this to no damn white kids. All right. A judge ruled that a Texas high school was not violating the state's Crown Act by punishing a black teen over the length of his dreadlocks. The decision was made. Well, it said independent school School districts' dress and grooming policies do not violate the Crown Act, which prohibits race-based hair discrimination at work. They said the policy does not prohibit, nor does it discriminate against male students who wear braids, locks, or twists. It does. It actually does, but it's like, I'm white and I say so. That's what it boils down to. It just boils down to I'm white and I say so. And this is why we have to be adamant about getting reparations so that we're not beholden to these people in the damn I'm white and I say so rule, because they can throw that on us at any time. So let's just go for the money. You see, that's why it's important to go for the money. That's why they go out of their way to stop us from getting money, because when you get that money, then we can start putting our own judges on benches. See, it's all about deprivation. They understand the importance of keeping money away from us. They understand of the importance of keeping us broke and destitute, because you can control broke people. You can control people who are deficient of resources. You see? And we have to understand, as foundational Black Americans, we got to circle our wagons and look out for us and be unapologetic about looking out for us and what we need to get. Because we run around here trying to cape for these other groups, and that ain't the business. Caping for these other groups has not worked. Remember when the Asian community was going out here supporting the ending of affirmative action, because they were sitting up here talking about the reason why they can't get into schools is because Black people are unjustly getting the affirmative action admissions, taking their slots, which was a huge lie. And they knew it was a lie. They knew it was all cap. That was a lie from the very beginning. The only people discriminating against them was white mommy, white daddy, but they don't ever want to challenge white mommy, white daddy. They thought if they sit up here and attack us and do this whole thing where they pretend affirmative action is some kind of windfall for us that we keep taking advantage of, we don't benefit, and we haven't benefited from affirmative action in a long time. So they were using affirmative action as an epithet to us. And the name of the game was to get rid of affirmative action, to stick it to those imaginary Black people. We weren't tripping on it because we weren't benefiting from it anyway. But the Asian community, they were getting out here using that as an excuse to demonize and target us. So now affirmative action is gone. Based on race, affirmative action is gone. You know? It's out the door. And like we said, now they're going to start having to hold their own nuts, because now they're going to have to deal with discrimination, and they're going to have to deal with it on their own. And now they're already complaining. This story right here. The Supreme Court passes on a case alleging elite Virginia school discriminates against Asian Americans. So now that they did the bidding for white mommy, white daddy, white mommy, white daddy is saying, okay, you can kick rocks. Go ahead and get the hell on up out of here. So now they want to cry foul. The Supreme Court announced Tuesday it will not hear a case alleging an elite public high school in Northern Virginia discriminates against prospective Asian American students, drawing an impassioned dissent from Justice Samuel Alito. The justices' refusal to consider the petition against the Fairfax School Board signaled unwillingness to immediately expand on their landmark decision last year that outlawed race-based affirmative action at most colleges and universities. So now they want to cry foul. Coalition for TJ, a group representing parents of prospective students, argue that the Fairfax Board had adopted admission policies in December of 2020 that unlawfully penalized Asian American students based on race. Boo damn who. Boo who. Boo who. All right. Boo to the damn who. Whatever you do, don't come over here to us. Don't bring your asses over here to us trying to get no help. hey, big head. No, no, don't come. Hey, big head and us. We don't want to hear it. Don't sit around here talking about how you getting discriminated against now. Don't come over here to us. Hey, black people, you were right. Go ahead and handle that. Y'all be all right. That's a you problem. Don't come around us talking about, hey, look at how we be treated. Look at how they're treating us. Nah, you go ahead and deal with that. I don't, man, this, I love delineating, dude. We should have delineated. We should have been delineating a long time ago. We ain't got no allies. We ain't got no damn allies. We should have been circling our wagons a long time ago. You understand? That's why people are so butthurt over us delineating. Us saying, hey, we're going to look out for foundational black Americans. And then we'll look out for our brothers and sisters in the diaspora after we get it straight here first. After we get it straight here first, then we'll do what we need to do as far as that. Hold on one second, guys. Hold on. I think my wife might have ordered groceries. Hold on one second. Sorry about that, guys. My phone ringing. But yeah. We're not running to the rescue. See, we didn't stop that running to the rescue stuff for everybody. That's why everybody's trying to pull us into their little situations. Now, we're not doing that. Time for everybody to hold their own nuts. You're not going to get us to lease out our Mojara spirit. You're not going to get that Mojara energy by proxy from us. We're not playing that game. Because we got to get our stuff together among ourselves. Speaking of getting it together, fam, y'all see this case? Man, this case really, you know, these hood rats. Hold on one second. Okay. Hold on. Texting my wife about something. All right. So, family, there was a case, and I'm glad everybody got on this woman's bumper, where this woman has a waxing business, some kind of where she waxes bikinis and she has customers come in and she waxes them. So she has her own waxing business. She's a 31-year-old chick, I want to say in Tennessee somewhere, I think. So she had her daughter, little bitty black girl, look, 5-6-year-old daughter, I don't know how old it is, little girl, helping her wax people. And she's up here taking pictures and bragging about it, putting it up on social media. And people were justifiably outraged over this nonsense. And then eventually she got charged. All right, so she had to appear in court. And boy, I won't even show the pictures. It was disturbing. Hold on, let me play the news story. Hold on.
A 30-year-old mother charged with child abuse over pictures that show her daughter waxing women has hired Memphis attorney Blake Ballin. Jasmine Moss faced a judge for the first time today. Action News 5's Stephanie Douglas is following the story. Stephanie, tell us what you've learned about Moss's business license.
Joy, well, right now, records show that Jazzy Body LLC is inactive and has been inactive for nearly 6 months. The state says that home shop is considered unlicensed.
Ms. Rose informed me that Blake Ballin will be your attorney.
30-year-old licensed esthetician Jasmine Moss appeared in court Wednesday after being charged with child neglect for letting her 5-year-old daughter wax 24 clients and then posting pictures online.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
After court attorney Blake Ballin, who's representing Moss, said this is an unusual case, especially the charges Moss is facing.
Child abuse and neglect usually require some sort of physical harm, physical injury, and it remains to be seen if they can prove something like that.
Action News 5 went by Glenbrook Street in Westwood, where Jasmine Moss reportedly runs the hair removal business, Jazzy Body LLC, out of a home. A
A woman closed and locked the door in our face. The Better Business Bureau had no record of the company until a complaint came on February 15th. A woman who claims to be Jasmine's mother said the controversy has sparked stress and threats.
People call her empowering. What do you think I'm supposed to be? I'm her mom.
The post has sparked so much attention, Memphis police launched a joint investigation with the Department of Children's Services. In a statement, the agency said, quote, "We can confirm that an investigation has commenced in this case. Pursuant to state and federal laws, we are unable to provide specifics about cases involving children and families we serve," end quote. Attorney Ballin says the next court hearing, they hope to have something sorted out.
We'll let the judge know if we are able to come up with some kind of resolution or if we need to have a preliminary hearing where the witnesses will have to come testify.
All right. Well, let me play the rest. Let me play the rest song.
Moss is due back in court March 20th, reporting live on second.
All right. Okay. So listen. Good. They're getting on her bumper, as they should. You know better than that. Listen. In our culture, foundational Black American culture, you know good and well, we don't play like that when it comes to kids. I'm glad everybody's on this woman's bumper. No, we are. Somebody said in the chat room saying we got to do better as a community. We are doing better as a community. Getting that decrepit hood rat out the paint, doing that nonsense. Uniformly, we've all, as a community, everybody is saying no. We do have it together as a community. Let's be very clear. That's why that woman's getting charges now, because of community complaints. That woman sat up here posting those pictures like it was cool. The community said no. Oh, look at my daughter. She's waxing clients better than me. And people are like, what, what? Oh, man, the pictures were real disturbing. Some big back-ass woman sitting up on a table with her legs in the air and a little girl... Dude, no, no, we don't play like that with kids. We don't play like that with no kids. You don't put no kids in no nonsense like that. You should know better. Yeah, who are the grown clients? Yeah, I'm glad people are pulling up on the hood rat class who does little weird shit like that. That wasn't cool at all. That's not a part of our culture, and the woman got rightfully checked all across the board. Thank goodness. That type of sick-ass nonsense is a no-go. We don't play like that. That is a no-go, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah? And when it comes to kids, man, you know, it's a very delicate thing, because sometimes people can try to teach them something, but the intent has to be, there has to be a correct intent. You know, teaching your kid, look, you want to teach your kids business, fine, but not that. You don't, you know, you hire an assistant for that. Don't try to save money by having your kid up here doing this weird ass stuff. You teach your kids something else other than that, or wait till they get older before you have people's funky crotches sitting all up there. That's disgusting. But speaking of teaching kids, this guy, King Randall, he's a Black conservative. He low-key does a lot of Samboing. He does a lot of Sambo stuff, and I'm not going to get on that part of the game. He put up a video, and I'm not going to beat up on the guy because he works as a mentor with kids. My thing, I don't like how he mixes that with the cooning, because he does a lot of cooning. I think he might even be a tether. If you're going to mentor Black kids, go ahead and mentor them. Don't hop online. What about Black on Black crime? George Floyd should have complied. And ooh, Black people is our own worst enemy. Because he does all that stuff in order to get donations from white people. Those are the main people donating to him. Hey, guys, I'm working with some Black kids. I'm telling them how not to be out here begging for reparations. Can y'all give me some donations? We don't need reparations. We need to mentor the kids like I'm doing. Can y'all send me some donations? He is that. So he put up a video teaching black boys how to interact with police during a stop. And there's some people who felt a certain way about it. Now, I will say some of the things he was saying was correct. You kind of comply. You don't try to argue with them. I'm going to play some of the video. But a lot of people kind of had some issues with some of the stuff. My thing is, tell all of it. Put everything in the right context. And let me play the video clip of him mentoring boys, telling them how to interact with police if you were to get stopped. So this is the video. I want y'all to peep this right here. Hold on 1 second. All right. Hold on.
How you doing, sir?
Doing good.
From my friend, first thing I want to do is already have my stuff ready, okay?
Yes, sir.
You don't want to get to the freaking car, and when he gets to the car, you got to go fumbling around looking for stuff, right?
Yes, sir.
Why don't we want to fumble around looking for stuff? Is that they're going to feel unsafe, you understand?
Yes, sir.
So regardless of whether they should or shouldn't feel unsafe, that makes somebody feel unsafe, you fumbling around, because things happen, right?
Yes, sir.
So when they get there, the first thing you want to do is already have your license ready and have your hands on the steering wheel, you understand?
Yes, sir.
Have your hands on the steering wheel, why?
Because you
find out that you reach for them. So you're not reaching for
stuff, right?
Yes, sir. All right, cool. And another thing I want to do, I'm going to let all my windows down, okay? I ain't got nothing to hide, right?
Yes,
so
sir.
I'm going to let all my windows down in the car. And if it's nighttime, I'm going to turn the car light on so he can see everything in the car, right?
Yes, sir.
Why am I doing that? Exactly. Everybody feels safe, right?
Yes, sir.
So we already started the stop off great. He probably in a good mood that I've let the window down. I've turned the lights on. He probably in a better mood now, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, so boom, he going to come to the car? All right, cool. So he's going to get my license. He may or may not go back to the car, which they usually do. They're going to basically see, check your name, see if you got any warrants, if your license is suspended.
Now, if it's a black cop, you don't really have to do all that, because black cops are not just shooting at people like that.
Blah, blah, blah. But you sit tight and just wait for him to finish. Good?
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. He's coming back, bring my license. He's probably going to give me a ticket for not having my seatbelt on. Now, what's the wrong thing to do if I'm getting pulled over and he comes to the car? What's another thing we're not gonna do? Talk back, cussing, talking.
And I agree with this. Now I agree.
Smack, all that stuff, right?
Yes, sir.
We're not doing none of that number if we get pulled up. We're not talking smack, we're not cussing, we're not telling them what our rights is, blase, blase, blah. We're not doing none of that. You understand?
Yes, sir.
We're trying to get home. And he's trying to get home. Cool?
Yes, sir.
We're just trying to make sure everybody stays safe, because if we start talking smack, now what if he decided not to give me a ticket because I was being cool and I let my windows down and all that, right?
Yes, sir.
But if I decide to, I had my seatbelt on. I just took it off when you came up here. You gonna get upset, right?
Yes, sir.
You know you're lying. So the best thing to do also when you get pulled over is to tell the truth, right?
Yes, sir.
Another thing you don't want to do, if you look inside my truck right there, what I got like on my windshield right there?
It's a dash cam.
You don't want to, if you can't encourage your mama or whenever you get a license, you want to make sure that you have a dash cam in your vehicle as a second precaution.
Now, I'm agreeing with a lot of this stuff, okay?
So, for insurance purposes, get in an accident, you want to have an inside and an outside dash cam, you understand?
Yes, sir.
Make sure you keep that in your vehicle, we good?
Yes, sir.
All right, so now, let's say he has to pull me out of the car.
Step out the car for me.
Is there a reason I need to step out the car?
License came back suspended. Step out the car.
Okay. License come back to suspension, you got to step out the car. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, ain't no way. No, just go ahead and do it, good?
Yes, sir.
Why we ain't arguing with him? We're gonna make him mad. We might just escalate the stop. You understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, the license could be suspended. Now he can say he smelled marijuana, right?
Yes, sir.
If he says he smelled marijuana, there's nothing that you can do about it. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Get out the car. You understand?
Yes, sir.
If he say he smelled weed, just get out. We're not fussing and fighting on the side of the road. You understand?
Yes, sir.
I can feel that. This is good.
Have there been situations where people have done everything absolutely right and something still happened? Sure, but is that happening all the time?
No.
Okay. See, that's the problem I got right there. See, that's in right there. He's good, and now he gets into, well, yeah, does bad stuff happen sometimes? But it don't happen all the time. But see, that's where I got a problem now. All right? See, you got to tell everything. You got to put everything in context. So now you better tell these kids, you might be dealing with a race soldier. Watch what you say. And don't say nothing. If they pull you out the car, just keep your mouth shut. If they tell you to get out the car, don't say nothing.
Oh, that's not happening every day. That's not happening every time somebody get pulled over. Most people
that don't matter.
We'll have a basic stop every day just like this, where they get pulled over, they take their ticket, and they go on by their day. You understand?
Yes, sir.
So don't let nobody make you feel scared of the cops or anything like that, but you also want to make sure you take the proper precautions so you still have a good stop. You understand?
Yes, sir.
And of course, the best way to not have to interact with the police is what? Not break the law, right?
Yes, sir.
But yeah, a lot of black folks, no. But you don't break the law, but hell, your blackness is against the law.
Be speeding with seatbelt on, don't be riding with your cell phone in your hand, all that stuff, right?
Yes, sir.
Like I said, if you get pulled over and you truly don't know, he probably gonna tell you already. And if he don't, just ask him why you getting pulled over, cool?
Yes, sir.
All right, so that's how we gonna keep that real simple. That's the easiest way to keep the stop simple, to make sure everybody's safe, make sure you safe, and make sure everybody get back home to their family, good?
Yes, sir.
In a nutshell, everything ain't just a
Okay. Now, see, and this is where people kind of have the problem. And, you know, I kind of have the problem, too. So you better tell these kids all of it. No, you better tell these kids all of it. Well, it's a friendly stop. And, yeah, some bad things happen, but it don't happen all the time. And if you act okay, you're going to have a friend. No. I tell my children this. I tell my boys this. And I'm telling your children this. Children, where are my teenagers and my young men? Where y'all at right now? Let me tell you this in the real right context. Let me put everything in the right context for you. If you are a teenager in here, my black boys in here, and I know it's late. Some of y'all might be getting ready for school. If you're a teenager, give me a thumbs up. Let me talk to the teens for a minute. Listen. When you're driving, you better understand something. You are in a system called white supremacy. Young black boy and black girl, you're in a system called white supremacy. And in that system, you as a black male, especially a young black male, you are the number one target in that system for genocidal annihilation. This is what you need to know. These people sit up plotting on you. I'm going to give you the real talk. Now, when you get pulled over by a suspected race soldier, you don't argue with them, which is true. You don't fuss with them because you better understand that person could be a suspected race soldier looking for a reason to take you out. So you are at a grave disadvantage if you get pulled over by a suspected race soldier. That's not officer friendly. You have white supremacist groups in law enforcement. This is what the FBI told us. Not only do we have law enforcement that's full of white supremacists, part of white supremacist gangs and white supremacist organizations is to get initiated into these organizations by taking out a black person. And officers do that. When they take you out, black boy, they don't really get punished. The laws are set up to allow them to take you out of here unpunished. The city might get taxed. But that race soldier not only will not get punished, he's incentivized to take you out. He's going to get all types of money, donations, financial support, legal support. They are incentivized to take you out as a black person. So you better understand that when you're out and about. Because that race soldier, suspected race soldier, is incentivized to take you out. And there's another race soldier judge out here who's going to protect the race soldier who took you out. And then when it's time to pay your family, another race soldier judge is going to say, we don't need to give you that money. We don't need to give your mama all of that paper. This is the truth you need to learn. So understand that going out. So yeah, you do want to be on your P's and Q's, but understand when you get pulled over, young boy, you are behind enemy lines, young boy. You better understand that when you are pulled over, you are in grave danger, but don't trip. Just expect it. I go out and I get pulled over. I'm not even afraid, but I understand the danger I'm in. So I just act like a prisoner of war. Okay. I'm behind enemy lines right now. I'm going to limit what I say. All right. Here's my license. Here's the insurance. Where are you going? I'm taking care of personal business, sir. All right. keep everything at a minimum. I'm not about to argue with him. I understand that this person is incentivized to take me out. It can take you out. Understand that. And then what you do on a daily basis is work to replace a tacky ass system like that. You understand? That's why, young black boy, black girl, we work every day to replace a degenerate ass system where I have to be on my P's and Q's so I don't get taken out by a damn race soldier over a traffic stop. There's situations out here. There was a black boy down in Florida. The race soldier put him in handcuffs in the car. An acorn fell on the car, and the race soldier starts shooting up the damn police car, reloaded and shot up again. Didn't get fired. He just resigned and then transferred. He still gets his pension. That looked like he was trying to get an initiation going on. Down in, I want to say Houston, and I won't even play the clip. There was a sister, black woman. There was a report that somebody broke in the house or something like that. There was a misunderstanding. And I think even the 911 call specified that it might have been a misunderstanding. So two female race soldiers show up, knock on the door. They look inside, and the sister was walking to the door. She had her gun by her side because she didn't know who it was. She had her illegally owned weapon while she walked to the door because somebody's banging on the door. She don't know who it is, so she's walking to the door with her gun in Texas. Remember, Texas, you can legally have a gun in Texas. Hell, in Texas, didn't they say you don't even have to have a license? Is that one of them no license states? So she went to the door with her lawful weapon. These race soldiers started shooting up that woman's house immediately. Second Amendment all to hell. They shot this woman's house up. They hit her a few times. She survived. They were trying to take that woman out. Yeah, they were shooting in the woman's home through the window. I won't even show the clip. There's body cam footage of it. I don't even want to get a copyright strike, but they were shooting in the window. The woman didn't even open the door. This woman didn't even open the door with the gun. They were peeping in, saw the silhouette of her with the gun, and just start busting inside the house. A gun in your house is legal. Unless they throw the white and I'm say so law. I'm white and I say so. Just like with Philando Castile. Philando Castile legally had a gun. Didn't pull it out. The race soldier pulled him over and he said, hey, you know, this is my gun license. I do have a firearm on me. He just starts shooting him. And then the race soldier got off. This is the system we live in. So that whole, it don't happen every day. It don't happen all the time. That's obsolete. It doesn't matter if it happens all the time. It shouldn't happen at all. Damn if it happens every day. See, that's a bullshit excuse. It don't happen all the time. It shouldn't happen at all, family. It shouldn't happen at all. This is why we have to work every day to replace that system of white supremacy with a system of justice. We got to work every day to replace that system. You dig? This is why we have to create our institutions and do what we have to do. Speaking of institutions, family, another black museum. This one, I think it was down in Mississippi, got set on fire. It was, what's that museum? It was a blues guy, John something, down there in Mississippi. It was a museum, a little small museum for a blues pioneer. I can't remember the brother's last name right now. John something. Little museum and got destroyed by a fire. Just like in Memphis, there was another black museum that got destroyed by fire. Our museum, the Hidden History Museum, we done been vandalized so many times. Family, I keep telling y'all, it's not a coincidence that black museums, especially for Black History Month, keeps getting targeted. This is why we have to get so, yeah, John Hurt Museum. Family, this is why we need support all the time. This is why supporting these institutions are very important. Everybody, if you have not contributed to the Hidden History Museum, Make your weekly and monthly contribution at HiddenHistoryMuseum.com. HiddenHistoryMuseum.com, and come out to the museum this Saturday. We have an event this Saturday. So RSVP at HiddenHistoryMuseum.com, ladies and gentlemen. It's very important that we have our institutions so that we don't get subjected to all types of discriminatory and weird behavior with other people's institutions. Speaking of that, I saw a video. I don't even know the context of it. It's just funny. There was this sister. They were at some establishment, some hair salon, a hair school. I don't know what it was. And there was some white women reprimanding this one sister. I don't know what for. I don't know the context. But the sister jumped up on some Dolomite shit. She jumped. The sister jumped up like Dolomite. Just on some job, sucker. She jumped up like it's a blaxploitation movie. This is funny. Hold on. Let me play this clip. This is... And she jumped up checking the white women. Evidently, the white women did something she didn't like. I don't know what was going on. They were reprimanding her or saying something to the sister. But the sister jumped bad on them. All right, hold on. Hold on 1 second. I don't know the context of this at all, but it's just... You know, it's like a blaxploitation movie. Hold on. Hold on, wait.
See how I'm shaking? You don't want me to get mad. But I'll turn this bitch up. I will. I'll tear this bitch up from the plum to the ruler. You don't fuck with me. Get the fuck. What you doing? You better sit your motherfucking ass down, little silly ass white hoe.
You don't want me to get mad. Lord. This sister used all the 70s tropes. Lord, it's like watching a Dolomite movie. You better get away from me. I tear this sucker up. You dig? Get away from me, white hoe. Jive, bitch. Good Lord. That sister had that old school dialogue. You hoes can't tell me when I can split. Now I want my perm done. Can you dig it, sucker? Or I'll tear this son's a bitch up. Oh, Lord. We got to have our own institutions so we don't have to go all jive turkey on people, dude. Good Lord. Oh, yeah, that one white woman got the hell on, didn't she? When Glodine stood up, the white woman got the hell on. You better back up off me, white hoe. Okay, yes, ma'am. Oh, my God. So the white woman is going around to her friends telling, oh, God, you know, she's telling what happened. Oh, God, I was trying to do a Negro's weave, and I told her I don't have the right sewing kit. And she jumped up and pulled a knife on me. She called me a white hoe. I was so afraid. I left my pepper spray in the car. I didn't know what to do. God. Oh, that white woman got the hell on. But anyway, man, speaking of getting the hell on, let me get up out of here, man. It's been real, family. We've been chopping up some great game on this lovely evening, ladies and gentlemen. Sharing our Majora spirit with the family. Basking in the spirit of Majara with the family right now. And again, I want to see you guys this Saturday at the Hidden History Museum. We got a great event happening. It's going to be off the chain. We got a lot of great comedians. My good brother Dwan B is going to be hosting as usual. A lot of funny comics, man. We got great food, Grill Fresh, a very popular Black-owned Los Angeles eating spot. They're going to be catering. Grill Fresh has delicious food, and the food is on us. It's complimentary drinks, great comics. Man, come on and party and celebrate with us, ladies and gentlemen. RSVP right now if you're in LA and if you want to come to LA at HiddenHistoryMuseum.com, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I'm up out of here, man. Y'all have a great night and a great weekend. Papi Akute to the family, and wish you love, peace, and Majara spirit. Y'all be good.